We are quickly approaching the end of 2024. And if you have not purchased an investment property yet this year, and it's been one of your goals, I need you to listen very closely. I know many of you live in areas where it's so expensive and investment properties seem impossible. I'm talking about some of the big cities. So LA, New York City, maybe even Seattle, Atlanta, places in Florida, and the list goes on. If you know that where you live is too expensive, I need you to lock in right now. Investing out of state changed my life as somebody living in California. I now invest in Ohio and I'm growing my portfolio. It's something that's possible. You just need the right information and execution. So if that's you, if you want to learn how to invest out of state, go to outofstatemoney.com and there is a free training that'll outline the steps for you and help you understand exactly what it takes. So go to outofstatemoney.com or simply go to the link in the description of this episode.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast, Episode 10. The purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming Black real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors. Shout out to our show sponsors, Mint Inc. Mint stands for the Minority Interdisciplinary Networking Team. Mint empowers young minority professionals with an interdisciplinary network for learning, collaboration, and the development of entrepreneurial ventures. You can become a member of their network for free at mintinc-usa.com. And you can also follow them on IG at mint_inc. So if you're a minority who's interested in entrepreneurship or you're an entrepreneur, this is definitely a great place to connect with other like-minded individuals who are trying to do amazing things. And one more thing that I would like to touch on before we get into this week's episode. Last week, I mentioned that I was supposed to get my next payment, including pet rent, that my tenant was being charged. And so I got it for December last week, including the regular rent. However, what I didn't receive for November was not there. And so I followed up with my property manager and they're supposed to be looking into it. Now at this stage in the game, it's a matter of me managing the manager. That's gonna be very important for me, especially since I'm long distance. I mean, I'm not in Ohio to, you know, be looking at stuff and checking on stuff. So it's important for the people who are supposed to be doing those things to do their job. So it's definitely not ideal to, you know, have this kind of issue, but, you know, I'd rather deal with issues that come being an owner and being an investor. And as I scale my portfolio and add more doors, it's going to be important for me to learn how to navigate these kind of challenges and manage the manager. You know, that's the name of the game right now. You know, the asset is secured. Now it's just managing the manager and making sure things are moving along smoothly. And a lot of people have a misconception that passive income equals inactive income and that they can be completely hands off. This couldn't be further from the truth. And I don't think it's really a good mindset to have, you know, especially if you're long distance. You need to make sure that the people involved in taking care of your asset are doing their jobs, whether it's contractors, whether it's property managers, everyone needs to be doing their job because they're working for you. And so that's what I want to leave you with. You know, it's great to have money coming in for work you're not doing, but it's crucial to just make sure the wheels are turning and things are continuing to move forward. So without further ado, let's get into this episode. All right, everyone, welcome to the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Very excited for today's episode and today's guest with me. I have Lamon Woods, CEO of Wood Family Estates, LLC. Out of Monroe, Louisiana. Lamont, thank you so much for getting on the podcast today. I appreciate it, man.
Appreciate you for the opportunity, man.
Absolutely, absolutely. So let's get into it. Tell us about what your childhood was like and what you saw or what you didn't see that shaped your view of building wealth.
Growing up, you know, I had a two-parent home. Mom and dad was hard working. At different things like that there. You know, I played sports, you know, after high school. I didn't go to college or nothing like that. I was just working like different jobs, trying to find my way, different things like that there. But growing up, my dad and his friend was doing like rental properties on the side, like fixing them and working on them and stuff. And my dad worked at a rehabilitation center where he was the maintenance man, where he did all the maintenance on the properties and the living assistance properties all the people had. And the people in my family kind of owned properties and stuff, like one or two, nothing like really big, but I kind of knew real estate and different things like that there. And one thing I noticed growing up, my mom and dad, I had two sisters and two brothers plus me, so they made five of us. but I noticed they was like hard working. We didn't miss a lot of stuff because they had like a team. They now one of them won high earners, but they had like a team atmosphere. So like that's kind of like what me and my wife kind of got today, like where we support and help each other out. So, but I noticed my dad was like a hustler. Like he'll go to work and then he'll build cabinets. He'll work on a rental property. He had just did so much outside of work. Like I wake up, he wakes up at school 6 a.m. Then he'll leave and go to work at 7, and then come home to probably about 9 or 10 o'clock at night. So I kind of just noticed like he was always doing extra and stuff like that there. But as I grew older, I realized they was just working hard. So as I grew, I knew I didn't want to work hard like that there. I wanted to build something that'll kind of work for me, but I didn't know what it was yet. But that's kind of the way I was living. I see my dad, my uncle, and them were just hard workers.
Definitely, definitely. I think it's interesting that, you know, you saw your dad, your uncle was always doing extra, always doing something. And it seemed like, you know, you wanted to, you know, be successful, but you knew you probably would go about it a different way. So what got you into real estate? Why did you decide that this is what you were going to do to get yourself and your family to financial freedom?
So it was kind of like, you know, working different jobs and I was just trying to find my way. And, I was just like, what I'm going to do? And I kind of leaned on what I seen growing up with my dad and my uncle in real estate, but I was kind of forced in it because 2015 and my wife bought our first property with our income tax. We bought our first property cash because we didn't want to pay rent no more. So I was kind of just like forced into the business. So buying their first property, not to get into real estate, but it was just my wife kind of bought the idea to me. I was against it. I was like, man, I don't want to do that because we stayed in the hood. I was in my younger 20s and I didn't see me living there within the next 5 years of raising the children there. And then, so I was like, why? I want to buy this house. But my wife was just like, well, we don't got to pay rent no more and different things like that there. So that doing that in 2015, that huge sacrifice. We spent $15,000 cash with our income tax. We were living paycheck to paycheck. We went broke. We had $600 left after we did that. But that sacrifice kind of propelled me into the real estate space.
Definitely, definitely. So you mentioned that you were kind of against it. So tell us more about what that was like and, you know, what kind of convincing your wife had to do to get you to be cool with that.
Well, she was just saying we don't have to pay rent no more and different things like that. And then she was like, we can get a good price on it. So one day she had bought it to me. I was against it. And then she had talked about it again. I was against it. She went over to the property management office to pay the rent. And she asked the guy. And the guy and her ended up talking and said, I'll call you back with a price. I think my investor do want to sell. So she came back and told me that they wanted to sell for $15,000. I was like, nah, man, I really don't want to do it. I was kind of like in limbo for like a month. And I had talked to my mom and dad about it. And, you know, they were just like, if that's something you want to do and different things like that. They never was like ownership was like overly important or nothing like that. They were just like, if that's something y'all want to do. And then I thought about it. I was like, man, people drive vehicles for more than $15,000 and different things like that. So I was like, man, I don't think we can go wrong. And the property didn't need a lot of work. It needed some cosmetic. We did some new floor and paint and different things like that because we was already living there for a year prior. So we rented it out for a year. Then the next year we purchased it. So she just kind of talked me into the thing about we didn't have to pay rent no more. And our rent over there was like $550 a month. So, you know, being young and being a living paycheck to paycheck, and we spent that lump sum up front. Then the next following months, we had no rent. So that was kind of like, we was different from all our other friends. Like, I was 25 and I was like, man, I don't got no rent. And my friends couldn't believe it. They was like, man, you don't got to pay rent. I know you stack it and stuff like that there. So like, you know, my wife bought it to me and she encouraged me to do it over the months. And I say like in 3 months, like 2 months, we had finally ended up getting it done when the income tax came and like a little bit after January, and we had finally, you know, getting it done.
Definitely, definitely. And so that was 2015. So 4 years later, how many doors do you have now?
50.
Wow. So you went from kind of not wanting to get that first property to getting it and now 50 doors. Talk to us about how you go from that point to where you're at now.
Okay. So after we bought that property, you know, we stayed in it for another year. We saved some money and different things like that. We had no rent. We had my wife income. And my income, and I was just still working jobs that I didn't like. So my wife kind of brought another idea to me. Like the year after that, she was like, "Well, let's move out this property and rent it out, and let's buy another property. And I was like, all right, that could be a good idea because of children and stuff. So it's kind of like we had to get them in better school zones and a better living and stuff like that there. So we kind of moved on the other side of the highway in a better neighborhood. So we was going through the loan process of moving. We got an FHA loan. That was my first time learning about loan credit and different things like that. My wife always been big on credit. If you borrow some, pay back what you borrowed and different things like that. But see, I never was on credit because I grew up in like cash. My daddy and his friend were doing the houses and different things like that, cash. So I never knew about credit. But in that process of going through the FHA loan, talking to the realtor and the underwriter and the financial people, like I learned a lot throughout that process. So we moved out that property. We moved out that property and we moved into the property. We moved into the next property. And we rented that property out. The plan was to rent that property out to help pay our mortgage in a better neighborhood that was way more expensive than the 850 we was paying over there. So I rented that property out. We moved into our home on Christmas Eve the following year. I rented that property out in like January. And I had got a $400 deposit and a $575 rent check. So I came home, I told my wife, I was like, damn, I just made $1,000, almost $1,000. And like, I wasn't even making that at my job at the time.
Yeah.
So I kind of got like so intrigued with it. So we had set up a plan and we was like, okay, well, we're not going to pay our mortgage. We're going to take this money, $575, we get reinvested and fix the property. Or we going to save it. And the plan was to buy one property a year cash. Because, you know, we just grew up on cash. Nobody in the family talked about banking and leverage and different things like that. So that was the plan. So we did that. And then the year after that, we bought a property for $6,000. We bought a property. We saved money from the property, $575 a month. We were just footing the mortgage at our personal residence. We were just paying it out our own W-2 incomes. And we bought another property, $6,000. And we bought a property. I call it a chopped up property. It was a big house, like a 4-bedroom, 2-bath, but what ended up happening was we kind of got in over our head because the goal was to buy cash, which we did, and we was going to fix it cash. But I was like, man, it's going to try to take a long time because the house was just in bad shape. So we ended up selling that house to an investor that I met, posted on Craigslist. People started calling. I was showing it, and we sold it for $5,000 plus close. So we ended up taking a $1,500 loss. So we ended up taking a $1,500 loss, but throughout that process, I was just like, man, I got to figure out how we can do this and do it effective and different things like that. So I just went on this like journey of learning and I was pulling up on strangers, rehabbing property, talking to them. I started reading all the books. I started reading all the podcasts, Bigger Pockets. It was these guys on YouTube I started watching. I ran across Jay Morrison. I just started turning to a sponge. Just reading and listening to everything that I can get my hands on about real estate, because I knew I just wanted to advance the business, but I knew I couldn't do it with cash because I was only making like 30 grand. My wife wasn't a high earner, so we never was in those type of positions. So I had to figure out another way. So one day I was researching, I came across wholesaling. So I was like, man, what if I told my wife, I was like, well, I got this out. She didn't know nothing about it at the time. You know, she thought it was illegal or something. Yeah. I was like, man, if I could flip this and do this. So I ended up one time getting a property on the contract. I got a property on the contract. I posted it. I was getting calls and different things like that, but I didn't find a buyer. So one day I was driving. I called the We Buy Houses sign, and this young guy answered the phone. I thought he worked for somebody or something like that. But I was like, you buy houses? He was like, yeah, I buy houses. I was like, oh, you buy that? So he pulled up. He was young. He was in a big truck and different things like that. I was like, damn, I wonder what dude do. So I started talking to him, different things like that. He like my real estate guardian angel. Like he changed my perspective in my life. He didn't buy the property because he was just like, I don't buy properties like this. They're too bad. But I was like, how many properties you got? I got 7. He was like 32, 33 at the time. I was like, man, how you do that? XYZ, we started talking and we started talking for an hour. And he was just saying words like credit, leverage. And he had told me about his lender and different things like that there. So I soaked up game from him for like an hour. I came home excited, told my wife about it. And man, I just kept learning. So when I'd be at work or be on break, anything like that, wasn't no more phone calls, it was reading. I love to listen to music while I was working on the truck, but I listened to podcasts. I was just growing. And some of the words that he said, like leverage, credit, and different things like that kind of stood out to me. So I started studying all that. different things like that there. And he gave me his lender number. So one day I called his lender and went talk to him. I went talk to him about what type of loan products they got, different things like that there. But in the process of me going in the bank, talking to him, he was just kind of blown away because I knew so much about the real estate business. Just to have one property, he was like, man, you know a lot. He was like, shook my hand, sent me the application and a financial statement, and we started doing business. So I ended up learning about the collateral process. During the process, you know, you get a line of credit against a property that you own, or you can put it up for collateral, different things like that. So that one property we bought in 2015, bought it for 15, it got appraised. He sent the appraiser out after we did, got past the all the parts you got to go through with the bank, with underwriting and stuff like that. So instead of taking a line of credit on it, I put the property up for collateral. I had equity of $28,500. So I was kind of like, all right, what I'm going to do from here? So as I written and researched and learned about the collateral thing, I put that property up and I just started buying property. Off that one property, we was able to buy 10 properties. The first time I bought three for 55, and then I just kept on going from there. And then we eventually tapped out the 80% loan of value on that property. And then as then, I just kept on finding different ways to buy and stuff like that.
Wow. Wow. What I really like about what you just shared is, you know, the home that you took a loss on, it seemed like after that, it kind of just lit a fire under you. And you're like, you know what? Like you said, I need to get this right. I need to figure out how to do this. And you just kind of immerse yourself. You started listening to podcasts, reading books, and just, you know, reading all the blogs, Bigger Pockets, and so forth. And so I really like, a lot of people may have just said, you know what? At that point, maybe this is not for me. Maybe I don't know what I'm doing, and just give up. But you kind of used it as fuel to learn and to grow and just figure out a different way to do it. So I think that's really dope. And so can you dive a bit deeper into the, I know you mentioned you used some of the equity out of the first house. So can you kind of dive deeper into what that process was like and how you were kind of able to use that over and over again for those first 10?
Oh, yeah. For the first 10, like I say, I go buy them. And with my bank, they do a lot of cross-collateral, what I call it. So say, for instance, like I say, you got to pray for 36. I had equity of $28,000 and like $500 and some dollars, if I'm remembering correctly. And what I do is I bought my first three properties, about three for 55. So they process like, so as long as I go buy a property and it appraised for more than the purchase price, the equity goes back to the existing property that I got. So say when I bought those first properties for, I bought them, the guy wanted 55, I bought them for 50 and they got appraised for like 53. So long as they got appraised for more than I was purchasing it for, the equity, the collateral I was using from that first home, it goes back. It just kind of like, it goes back and you just start the process over and over again until you get to the 80% of loan to value in that existing property that I bought at 2015. So that's kind of how they process work. So it's basically like they just moving equity around to make it where you don't have to put no money down. And they roll the closing costs in your loan. So basically what I've been doing for the last 4 years of buying properties, I haven't came out of no money since 2015 and 2016 when I paid $15,000 for that property and $16,000 and $6,000 for that property, everything else. I just figured out how to leverage the bank money, other people's money to build wealth for my family.
Wow, that's incredible. That's incredible because, you know, a lot of people are under the impression that, you know, in order to grow and scale a portfolio, you need a whole lot of money. I feel like it's still something I'm trying to learn. I feel like a lot of people as well is kind of how to leverage the assets you already have into more houses, into more doors. Are there any other strategies you use with the bank to finance your deals?
Yeah, so basically, like I got three different ways we buy deals right now. I do cash flow property. So basically, a cash flow property, if somebody called me and said, I got a property fixed up, got a tenant that's rent for $600 a month, sometime I go check it out. If I got properties in that area and I kind of know what it's going to appraise for and different things like that, I just put it on the contract, send it to my banker, and she'll add that property into an existing loan that I got equity in, like cross-collateral, like same thing I did in 2015. So I go close and no money down and I purchase that property. Say if I got a loan for $20,000 and I paid $20,000 for that property, they just add that loan. I got a loan for, it was worth $40,000, but it didn't been paid down to say $20,000 or so. They just add that house to that property. They add that house to that loan. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And now I got a loan of $45,000. But then I'm making more money because I added another door that pays $600. So I do deals like that. And I also do bear strategy on cheaper deals like the anywhere between $5,000 and $15,000. What I do is use my lines of credit. I got a business line of credit and I got an unsecured line of credit. I purchase the house cash. We'll go in if it needs rehab. Sometimes I've been able to buy them where they don't need rehab in like 30 days. My bank, you got to wait 30 days for you refinance out of property. So I'm like, it don't happen in 30 days out of time. The bank move a little bit slower as you start doing more and more deals. But I just go back and refinance that property. I buy cash, rehab it if it needed, send it over to the bank, tell them what it rent for, how much I put in it in improvements and different things like that. And I refinance it, pull all my cash out, and pay my line of credit off to a zero balance. And sometime I pull my cash out and I make cash. One time, I think the best one I did is I bought a property for 18 grand. Put a $500 furnace in it. It got appraised for 42. I was all in it, like 18.5. I got back my money, paid my line of credit off. I walked away and closed with 15 grand. So that was one. And I got another way I do deals is a construction loan. So a construction loan, basically, if I buy a property for 25 and it get appraised for 50, my bank will give me 80% of not the purchase price or the contract price or the 50,000. And they'll give me a line of credit attached to that house. So if I say, it's worth 50, but I need $10,000 in improvement, but I only paid 25. So now I got a $35,000 loan plus closing costs and different things like that there. And it's a drawdown line of credit. So as I'm rehabbing the property, I send pictures in and I say, I need $5,000 for windows. I need $5,000 for floors. And she just deposited in my bank account off that line of credit. And I get 6 months interest only. And the thing I like about that's my favorite loan to do the construction loan, because sometimes like me and my wife want to take a trip or different things like that there, or to flow payroll and pay my guys and different things like that. I might look at a property and say, I know it only needs 15 grand worth of work, but I used to do all the work myself, me, my wife, and my dad, so I kind of know construction. So what I do is say it needs 25,000. And it still looks that way to the bank, but I know my guys can do it for 10. So now I got a $15,000 spread to float over payroll to flow. We might want to take a $5,000 trip. I just paid my company a contract fee. Like I just pay us a general contract fee for managing the project and different things like that. So them are the three ways that I do deals right there.
Wow. That's incredible. One of the things you mentioned was that, I think you said you bought a house for $15,000, you put a $500 furnace in and it appraised for 42.
I put a furnace in it for $500 and it got appraised for 42. Or 43 or something like that. You do 80%. Wow. My bank gives me 80% loan to value. And then I just pull my cash out. And that's why I know I look on the internet, stuff like that, but I tell people, my market, you don't got to buy all those rehab houses. You don't got to do the burst strategy and all that. You can buy houses that's like 60% put together and refinance out of those too. In my market, I'm not sure about other markets, but that's in my market, you can do that right there.
Got it. So for the burst strategy, I know a lot of people think you got to do, you know, huge gut rehab, but it seems like in some cases you might be able to just do a little bit of work and it could potentially appraise for much higher.
Yeah. Some cases you might be able to buy, don't do nothing. And you just pull your money back out and break even. Say if I bought it for 25 and it got appraised for 27, 28, long as you get a purse, say like 28, and I only pull my initial 25, I don't care. I got a free house that cash flows every month. I pay my line of credit back off to zero balance and I just repeat the process. But I don't like to do that strategy because it's kind of like inflated debt, because the bank, the appraiser know when he coming out to do a property to appraise it, they got their check boxes. He'll say, well, he'll call me. I need to come appraise this property at 123 Main Street. It's a refinance. He going to inflate the numbers anyway so he can get paid on appraisal and for the bank and do the loan. So that's why I really don't like to do that strategy, because on some of the properties, you don't really cash flow. But I got good at it where I can pull money out. Like I can pull enough cash out on a refinance to start another business, to pay a house off free and clear. Like I done got to where I can pull $10,000, $15,000 out just depending on the deal. Now I can go pay a cheap house I got a loan on. I can go pay that off. Now I got a free house by purchasing one house, or I can go start a whole nother business because I got this seed capital to go do so.
Definitely. So out of those three favorite strategy out of those three strategies, which one is your favorite, and which one would you say you use these days, you use more often?
The construction loans, because I buy package deals. I really don't buy singles and stuff like that no more. So when I quit my job, I had like almost like 30 goals, but I had a set of goals. When I quit my job in November, I set a goal. I was just kind of like 20 doors. So that was every day, me and my piece of paper and wrote, put it on my mirror. I put it around the house. I put it in the office, and it was just kind of like 20 doors. So I got a post on my page where sometime this year, me and my wife were able to surpass that we bought 23. So it was kind of like figured out if I won't grow after I got out the job, because I didn't feel like I had enough doors, I had to package deals. Like I started buying like package. Like I bought the big I did last year. This was 9. I bought like 4. Then I bought like, so now that goal of 20 became more achievable because I was buying them in bunches instead of like the single. That's why I kind of don't like to refinance. I don't have huge lines of credit. So my lines of credit can possibly only buy me like one, maybe two houses, depends on how much it is. So I was like, if I want to grow, I'm gonna do the construction loan. So that's the one that I use the most. Like right now, we got 7 doors on the contract right now. And that's what I'm doing on them, a construction loan. I'm working on a scope of work right now to send over to the bank and stuff today.
Wow, that's incredible. And you spoke about being able to leave your job. Can you talk to us about what that was like, and just being able to leave the job and focus on the business full time, and how that, may have helped for you to focus more and grow the portfolio?
Yeah, man, leaving the job, it was a scary thing, man, because the whole time, like, I was planning it, but I wanted to wait till the end of the year, but I ended up doing it on October the 31st of last year. So I had a long day at work. I text my wife. We had already been talking about it, and I was like, I think I'm going to do it. I ain't going to make it until December. So I ended up going and put my 2 weeks notice in. I ended up doing it, man. And it was a scary thing I did in my life, but the whole time praying, like, God, I hope we still be able to get bank financing and different things like that. Because at the time, I didn't know. I had talked to my banker about it previously, like a couple of months before. And she was just like, Lamont, I can't tell you no. I can't tell you yeah, but I can tell you have did good while you were working the job. And you got this many properties and you got this much coming in a month on your rent roll. But she just couldn't answer that question for me. So quitting the job was kind of like, it was kind of like on a whim. I just like, feel like long as God knows my intentions and my wife support me, I'm gonna go for what I know. So I did that. I did that. And then the new year rolled around. I did that. My last day was kind of like in November 2018, somewhere in there. And I was like setting my goals and plans for 2019. And I was like, man, I don't got enough doors. So what I'm gonna do? I was just like, I got about over 20 doors or more this year. And so that's where the mindset came from. And I stopped focusing on singles. So when I talk to an investor or different things like that, or I send yellow mailers out, somebody call, they be like, I got one property sale. I'm asking them, well, I seen on the tax assessor's website, you own 13. You want to sell any more? So I went selling for just one property. Because when I was working at the job, I was doing that because I was like, this is all I can handle. Because of like, I'm not off until the weekends and different things like that. So when I stepped out the job, I had all day. So it was kind of like it's time to play ball at that point. So I kind of stepped my game up, and that's when I bought was able to do the most doors we've done this year. We did 23, so I was kind of like was able to do that, and that kind of propelled us to where we at today.
Definitely. And can you walk us through the package deals, just how you found them, how you structured them, what the financing looked like on those?
So yeah, like I say, I found them by. I sent some. Well, I talk about one I did this year. I found it. I sent some mailers out to a seller. He called me back. I ended up buying one property from him. And the guy that I told you that I met, his name is Scooter. That's my guy. And he was like, me and him were talking one day. He was like, man, why you buy one property from him when you got all the other properties? I was like, it's a good idea. So I got back in contact with that guy. And I was like, man, let's do a deal. Like, let me buy the rest of them. And he was like, you sure you want to buy the rest of them? I was like, yeah. And at the time, I didn't know nowhere how I was going to do that deal because I was at the job and taking a deal to the bank that much. I didn't know what that was going to look like. But he asked me like 3 times. He was like, you sure you want to do this deal for this price? I was like, man, let's do the deal. I had confidence from somewhere. So we ended up putting 12 of them on the contract. What ended up happening was throughout the process, we had a bad title work on three of them. So the purchase price was going to be like $195 for all 12. But after we got the contract back, and after the title company did the work, three of them had bad title work. So the purchase price bumped down to $167. So I grouped them up in a package deal, $167. Like I said, I did a construction loan, 6 months interest only. So my total loan, I asked for $20,000 on repairs. So $167 plus the $20,000. But during that process, these properties got appraised subject to. So when appraisers come out, he doing subject to the work. And I create a scope of work and send it over to the bank. And these nine properties got appraised for $275. So they got appraised for way more than I was purchasing them for. So I was able to do the loan. And it's kind of like I was like they take the equity out the back end and move it to the front end so you don't have to put nothing down. So I was able to do the loan. I paid $167. I got a line of credit against the nine houses, and I had an equity in that loan to get the line of credit for $20,000. And the houses was rented out except one. And as tenants moved out and the things broke, I just got to draw off that $20,000 line of credit, and I was able to use that money to fix the properties and fund rehabs and stuff like that there. So what happens is in the construction loan, you go to closing, and you do a 6 months interest-only loan. So on that loan I had, it was a little bit under $200,000 with closing costs, the $20,000 line of credit, and the purchase price of $167,000. You do interest only. So my note was really cheap, and I was getting like $4,000 and some dollars a month with all nine of the houses rented. And I was just collecting the cash flow and paying only the interest on it. And after 6 months, I go back to closing with my bank. We turn the interest only loan out, and we turn it into a 15-year loan. So that's the way that I've been doing this. So on that deal, after debt service, say I made like, we're making like four grand on that deal after debt service and expenses, making like $2,000 and some dollars. So everything pays for itself. But the thing about, like I said, about the construction loans, when you buy, like I bought nine, but eight was rented. Think about how much cash flow I was making and only paying interest. I was only paying interest for half a year. So now my cash flow is really increased for a half a year. So that's what I've been able to do.
Wow. That's incredible. I mean, I think just the boldness is just amazing. And the tax assessor website, I've never heard anybody speak about that, but I like how you use that to figure out what else the person had, what else they owned, and just pitch like, hey, let me buy the rest, you know? So that's incredible. And it seems like you have a really good relationship with your banker as well, right?
Yeah, man. And like I tell people, when they want to get into real estate, be overly prepared. Bankers are not financial advisors. Like, you have to know what you need to do when you go in there. So like I said, when I went first talked to them, I knew about loan products and different things like that. I learned something from that guy that I told you I met when I was trying to wholesale. And I did a lot of research and reading on my own. So on birthdays, I sent cards, holidays, I sent cupcakes and all that to the whole bank. Like, it's kind of like, don't be so needy. Like, they need things too. So, like, you know, like, as they help me out and continue to help me and my wife grow, you know, we send cars, we send cookies, we send cakes. Like, it's just like a real good relationship. Even some days I make it my business, I put the notes in on my phone. So once a month I go in and email her a long email saying, you changed me and my wife's life. Like, thank you for everything you've done and different things like that there. And she always just appreciated, because it's not so much as Lamont always coming in when he want to get a loan and different things like that. Like, if I go make a deposit or withdraw something, I go in the office and talk to him like 5 minutes. How you doing? How your day going? You doing fine? How the kids? Like, just make it a conversation and build a rapport and a build a relationship, because they not my banker. I look at her like, that's my business partner. I'd have been able to buy over $2 million of real estate and we haven't came out of any money. So like, that's like my business partner. I treat it like that, not just my banker, and I'm going to contact him when I need something.
Definitely. And I like that. You know, I think a lot of people, you know, you kind of get in the day-to-day grind and it's just transactional. It's like, what can you do for me? I need this done by. But I mean, I know for a fact, I really believe that the fact that you are investing in the relationship and the people side of it, I bet it's helping deals to get done. You know, even if, you know, it may not seem like it, I know it helps deals to get done. People will have more favor. People want to help you more because they like you. You know, you get business done, you know what you're doing, but they also like you too. So I'm sure it's, you know, it helps the papers and stuff push through quicker than maybe some other people.
So and it's big that that I do it with the whole bank. So like when holidays, I just don't send my bank or nothing. I send the bank tellers, wow, the janitor, anybody in the building. You know, you treat everybody the same way. Mm-hmm. So now when I go into the bank to the line, they like me and my wife. They embracing us. Hey, how y'all guys doing? And different things like that. So I kind of like treat it like an atmosphere thing. Like I'm a, even though the other bankers and stuff in there not helping me build, like she's helping me build, I send everybody something.
Definitely. Definitely. That's really cool. That's really cool. So let's talk more about Woods Family Estates. What are things looking like now? Do you have a team? Like how is it currently structured? What's your day-to-day like these days?
So it's different now, but we was able, in the beginning, we did a lot of the work ourselves. So like when I found the property and we purchased it, me and my wife and dad, we'll go and tackle it. It was taking a long time. It was hard, man, because I go to work. I work full time, 40 hours. I go to work, get off. I go to work at 7, get off 3, 4. We go work on these properties. Every weekend, we'll be in property. So for 3 years straight, man, I had no weekends, no football games, no travels, no nothing. It was just straight grind. And we was building. My wife know how to do floors, paint, hang lights. She know how to do everything. And my dad and my main man, he been doing construction since he was 15. Wow. So he got years of experience and everything we learned. So we kind of built it up, and we was able to keep all our money in-house. So to build a team, I know a lot of people say, like, well, I'm going to go out and create it's a business. I ain't going to do no work. That's cool, but I feel like if you paying somebody to do something, even if you do take their route, learn what they're doing. So the next time you get a guy to do that, you can know if they average rates and different things like that the same. So you can see, okay, like my costs going up, this don't sound right. So like if I need a guy to come to Sheetrock House and it's 900 square foot, I can make a phone call. I know how much it costs because I've done it. Mm-hmm. We've done it. So you know, I'd have been around it with my dad and my uncles. So that kind of like today, but today it's kind of evolved to where we had kind of exploded this year, man. So we was able to get us an office. We got an office now. And my dad does all the maintenance, him and his guys, his helpers, they do all the maintenance, the rehab, the service calls, different things like that there. My wife does the property management, phone calls, emails, text messages, different things. And that side, what I do is basically like I go to the office, work orders, see what house might need for rent, sign up, take some pictures, send them to my wife to post them on Craigslist and Facebook to get them rented. I put lock boxes on the doors and different things like that. So I got to kind of build like what it's like that there. And going into 2020, since we got so many doors, I'm building my own property management company and one of the best wholesalers in our area that we didn't bought some property from, she's going to come on to be our assistant. So, and we're going to build a property management company in-house. So she'll be in our office every day. Well, not every day, but she'll be in our office enough where we can see her, touch her, and feel her. Because, like, I didn't want to, like, build it to where I hired a property management and we still going. And I look up, I got 100 doors, and I'm waiting on people to call me back, email me back, and different things like that. Because I go through that with the bank. I'm not going to go mm-hmm. through that with a property manager. So I read a bill. Yeah. In-house. So that's the way we kind of got it structured. So it just looks like that right now. My dad doing the maintenance and different things like that. My wife do the property management. Me just the ripping and running guy. So I wake up, you know, go take pictures, lock boxes, and just move around. I move around a lot.
Definitely. Definitely. There's a couple things that you mentioned that I really like. So one is that you and your wife did the work. So in the beginning, you know, you were doing a lot of the work, but like you said, you were doing something growing up, but you got to do it now with your own properties. And so, you know, in the future, you know, if someone's trying to cheat you, you know how, what things are supposed to look like, you know, how long things are supposed to take. And you know, some people, they kind of just blindly trust someone. They may not know what to ask and what things should be. So I really like that. And I also like that you're keeping it in the family. You know, your wife has a role, your dad has a role. You know, now the wholesale will be able to help you build it in-house. And you know, the company is growing and it's growing. It seems like at the right pace. So I like the fact that you kind of just started, you did what you had to do until you could do something different. And now, you know, you can go and chase the deals. You can go and take care of things at different places in different properties because everybody has a role. So I really like the fact that, you know, y'all have been intentional about structuring the team in a way that would make everything work together.
Yeah. Because when it was just a dream, only people really believed in me was my wife and dad. I have different friends, my best friends. They do what I do now, but like in the beginning, telling other family members and different things like that. Nobody seen the dream. Like, my wife was just like, you want to go for it? Go for it. My dad was like, whatever you need me to do, yeah, help me call me. You know, in the beginning, wow. He didn't charge me nothing. That's my guy. So, like, he didn't wow. charge me nothing. So we was just building. I give him what I could. He might have did. We might have bought a house and he didn't did $20,000 worth of work, but I give him X amount of dollars, and that's my pops. He ain't tripping off that or stuff like that. He just helped me help my dreams come true to take care of his grandkids. So it's kind of like just continuing to build with the people that, like, I started with. And the wholesaler was one of the first persons I met. I started buying deals from. So it's kind of like all three of those, like, you know, them people helped me build it up. So them the people that I'm going to break bread with, make sure they in the right position and different things like that there.
Definitely, definitely. And about how much cash flow do you think you're making off all the properties each month?
I got it up to over five figures now. That was the goal, to get it to over five figures a month on the rent roll. So if we got the windfall on that one. We got right now, we got like 40-some doors rented. We got other properties that need to be rehabbed and stuff like mm-hmm. that, so they ain't rented out. But right now, yeah, we got it. The goal was to get it to like over five figures, and I got it to over five figures.
That's amazing. In 4 years, it's like life can change so fast, huh?
Yeah, man, and doing the work and educating yourself and learning. I think people try to skip out on those two steps, man. Like, mm-hmm. I want to buy the house, but I don't want to do nothing, bro. Like, I was to whatever I had to do to make this dream come true. Like, I sacrificed a lot of friendships, like, different things, like, just no playtime, party time, just a lot of sacrifices and different things like that there, man. Definitely. So just, like, not making no excuses, because I knew, like, when I was 30, I used to always say, I want to get out the job. I want to buy me a new truck and different things like that there. I want to get out the job, buy a new truck and different things like that there, and have me a retirement party. And my wife made it where all that came true for me. I walked outside on Christmas Eve. She bought me a brand new truck. Like, she had me a surprise birthday party in December for my retirement party and different things like that. So I have been speaking this stuff into existence for like years, like being on the phone with my friends. Like I say, they do real estate. Talking to them at work, like, man, I'm gonna be at the job. I'm gonna get to drive around in my truck. And just because, like, that guy that I met in 2015, he inspired me when I seen that young guy pull up, big truck, and different things. Now people see me like that, and it's kind of crazy. Like, it's kind of like reverse. Now I'm that guy, and it's like I seen the law of attraction. I was like, when I seen that guy that young, 70 properties, now he got over 200. Like, he got over. So I was like, man. Ain't no limitations, because, like, people try to say what you can't do when you're young and different things like that. You know, growing up, you know, you see a lot of landlords are old. But I seen a guy that was not a flipper, not a wholesaler. He was an actual owner, and he was only 32, 33 years old. So that, just changed my whole perspective. So I say, yeah, man, it can happen for you. Life can change. You change your perspective. You work hard. Put God first. Just do what you got to do and make no excuses. I made no excuses, man. It used to be hard, man, working. Getting off work, not having no weekends, your friends come in town, where you at, bro? I'm over here working on the house. They know I'm going to go over here and pull up on him and holler at him. He ain't going to leave from working on his house. I wouldn't because I only had Saturday and Sunday off, so it's kind of like I had to take advantage of it. I'm not going to work for them 40 hours a week and not work to build my dreams.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I mean, I think it's just a great story, you know, especially, you know, the sacrifice. You know, some people, they see the end. They see kind of the dream and all the properties, but they don't want to do the work in between. They don't want to sacrifice and, you know, focus. So, I mean, I just think it's a testament to just sacrificing for a period of time. And now, you know, you're still growing, but you're able to reap some of the rewards and some of the benefits of your labor. And can you talk to us more about the market in your area? Because it seems like, because you know a couple of other people who have a lot of properties in the area as well. Is that right? Or are they kind of indifferent?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, they older. Like, I only young. Like, I met guys, but before it was just kind of like these older guys. I met that guy. He was young. He was a landlord. But now it's kind of like, you know, getting to a point where we got multiple landlords and different things like that there, man. So, like, I stay in a market where you can make 60 grand and live a good life. Like, I don't stay in a high market and different things like that there. So I kind of look at it like being a big fish in a small pond. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, instead of taking like the other route, I'm gonna take the ownership of building something in this market where everybody else is kind of older. And if I build it up while I'm a young landlord, like, it's not too many people. I'm 30. There's nobody that owns as many at 30 years old. So it's kind of like, I was like, man, who the people going to be looking to sell to when they get older? Me. Yep. So now I'm going to get them because I do good business. I make sure I'm respectable when I go in people's places and different things like that there. So I stay in a small market. We don't get a lot of cash flow in these markets. So sometimes when I'm watching like Instagram and I see some of the rent prices these guys be getting, I'd be like, man, that's illegal, man, what they get. But my market, my mortgage don't even cost that much.
Yeah.
You know, and I got, you know, so it's kind of like, you know, but I learned that in my market, you to make the five figures a month to build, you had to buy a bunch of doors. Like you had, it's uncomfortable. You don't want to because at the cash flow per unit, my metric down here is $200 to $250. You know, I done talked to guys over the internet, be like, bro, I can invest in that like that. And which I get it, but I live here. I'm comfortable with it.
Right.
Because think about if I go do 250 every door times 50, just think about what I'm going to make. Right. After everything is paid. So that's kind of like I stay in a small market, cheaper properties and different things like that.
Definitely. And are your properties kind of spread all over town or do you have most in a certain part of the city?
Most of them, I got like 30 something in one area. So the area that I bought the house from in 2015, that area. So I just looked around the corner, the next street, the next street, the next street. Yeah. So we got like 30 something in that one area. So now, kind of like being in that one area, what I learned, I know the comps, I know the rent rates, I know the market value, I know everything over there. So it's nothing get past me. And then another thing is by being over there that when stuff go for sale, they call me when I'm not even looking because they know like, hey, Wolf Family Estates own properties in this area and different things like that there. So, but that area and the area I grew up in, I got some too. And like, them my pride and joy right there, man. Yeah. Just to be able to own properties in the area where we grew up fighting, walking to school, playing football around the corner from my high school, my elementary, man. Like, you know, just going back there and like, bro, like I own houses in my neighborhood. I walk these streets until I was like 18 years old. And it's just crazy when I go back to the section and be like, I'm like, I'm really an owner over here. So like, that's a beautiful thing, man. But most of them in that one area where we bought that property in 2015, we just kind of built off that area. Mm-hmm.
Definitely, man. That's like buying back the block for real, you know? Just you probably as a kid, you probably running past the house, you probably didn't even think about it in that way. And now, you know, these houses you ran past or, you know, hung out around with your friends, now they're yours.
Yeah, and the crazy thing about that area, when we grew up, we fought guys from that area because that's the south side of town. We from the east side of town, so we never went over there. We never got along with people over there. We never associated ourselves with anything over there. Now I go over there now. Like, man, I own over like 30 some properties over here. And when I was growing up, I wouldn't even come over this way. Like, I had no reason to be over this way, man. So it was kind of like, man, it's crazy that, like, I go from not liking the area to, like, you own a lot of properties in this area.
Definitely. That's amazing, man. So what does 2020 look like for Wood Family Estates, man? Like, what are your goals? How many doors are you trying to add next year?
I did a gold door this year. So next year I'm looking at a gross rental rate that I want to make, like a gross rental rate that I want to make. My goal this year is to retire my wife. So like I retired last year, this year she will retire. This will be her last year working a W-2 job. So we both will be out. And I think the business, cause my wife keeps me on schedule. So with her being out the job, I think like we'll be functioning at a higher rate and different things like that. And build a property management company. We're going to build a property management company. And we also going to do, I get it like, hey, man, can you manage the property or do a rehab for me? Your property is nice. So we also going to rehab some other investors' properties for them. With the property management company, I might charge anywhere between 15 to 25% on top of it. So my guy come in and say he's going to charge you $5,000 to build. I let them know, hey, and we just going to charge X amount of percent on top of this. So now I make money just for overseeing the project, sending them pictures, keeping them alert, letting them know what the scope of work looked like, where we at on it and stuff like that. And like I said, we got us a little office. The goal is to build a property management company, build a construction inside of the office also. But and just continue to grow and continue to build and retire my wife.
Definitely. I love it. Just adding different branches to the company and, you know, more employees. And I mean, it's probably going to be amazing to see where you are at the end of next year. We got to do like a recap or something. Just like an update. Probably be like 150 doors next December or something. But who knows, man? I mean, it sounds like y'all are going in the right direction.
Yeah, and it's been a journey, man. And I just want people to know it's been a journey. I'm not portraying like nothing been easy. It's been hard fought. Like I did a lot of this stuff in the beginning, man. It been days I cried. Been days things didn't go my way. It been days like just a lot of stuff, man. Just growing and building was uncomfortable. Like I said, this year was just so uncomfortable because of like taking on a lot to buy like 20 some doors and not no employees and nothing like that there. So now all this stuff rattling in your mind, how I'm gonna figure this out and different things like that. So it's been a journey, man. But like I'm a huge fan of Nipsey, man. And I just knew the marathon had to continue to go on. And I read a quote, he said one day, if you grow, if feel like it's uncomfortable, that means you're growing. And I kind of was just like, man, it's hurt right now, but I know as I grow and my wife and my dad help me line this stuff out, we'll get everything even killed and we'll be able to build off that.
Definitely, definitely. What would you say over the years was the biggest challenge you've had just in this journey?
I think the biggest challenge is I had putting limitations on myself, like saying what I can't do. Or thinking I can't do this. So like once I figured out like, hey man, like you can do this. Like you can do it. It's just numbers. Calm down. It's just numbers. You'll figure it out. Go. And like the balance too, like understanding that like kids, wife, like household chores and different things like that. Cause I was just like a grinder for so long and I was losing sight of like the other more important things in life that I had to do and different things like that. So I kind of say like that been like the balance, you know, because you got to have that balance too. It can't be all about that. So I kind of learned that the hard way, but I kind of figured it out though.
Definitely. Definitely. And how involved are your kids? How much do they know about what's going on?
Oh, they know everything, man. They know how to analyze deals. They know about cash flow. You know, I draw assets, liabilities, different things on the board when we riding in the truck. I'd be like, Mom and Daddy own this house, different things like that. Especially, like I said, when I buy a house in the neighborhood where they never stay at, the neighborhood that I grew up in, my mom and dad live at. So when I take them over there and I show them how it's like, that means so much to me, man. Because like I say, I grew up, I love that area. That area made me what I am today. Like, the fights, the playing football, all that was worth it over there. And it's kind of like just showing my son, you know, he's 10, so he understands a little thing on another level. Showing him like, man, like daddy owned these two houses right here in my elementary. I went to school right across the street. He like, you went to that school right there? Like, yeah. And these two houses right here, right across the street from the elementary, they are. So like, they understand a lot. I've been teaching them. They always say, dad, here come dad with all that preaching. Like, I've been about this for a long time.
Yeah. That's amazing, man. That's amazing. And what's been your most challenging tenant experience?
My most challenging tenant experience, sometimes buying them properties when they occupied, because I bought a lot of properties occupied at the job, because I was like, instead of me rehabbing the house and waiting 60 to 90 days to get some money, I had started buying a lot of houses that can cash flow for me right now because I was out the job and I needed the money. Mm-hmm. So say out of the 23 doors bought this year, like 18 of them had a tenant in it already. So when you taking on that many tenants and they like, well, my old landlord ain't do this. You need to do this. You need to do that. And that was kind of challenging. So we learned, you got to shut that down real quick. Like, no, this ain't been done. If you're good, then we going to roll with it. But if you want this done, rent going to go up. We're going to come in and rehab it and different things like that. So just buying no houses that's occupied. I know some people like I got friends that be like, nah, bro, I don't want to do that. I'm buying houses that's empty so I can get my tenants in and train them and to kind of not like do it the way I want to do it.
Definitely, definitely. Just a couple more questions as we wrap up. What would be your biggest advice to someone who is just getting started and maybe they're intimidated by, you know, being an investor, buying a property? What would be your best advice to them based on your experience to get them started?
Learn, educate yourself. Don't skip out, man. The best investment you can make is within you. Like my life changed when I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, The Power Broke, Me and that next door, like, and I was on YouTube listening to all that stuff. You know, I ran across the Todd Capital podcast, Bigger Pockets, like just pouring into myself. And I like to tell, I tell my kids this all the time. Like, you earn what you learn. You don't learn nothing, you don't earn nothing. And I read a quote a couple years ago that said, a formal education will make you a living, but a self-education will make you a fortune. And when I read that quote, that changed my life. I knew, like, I had to teach myself. Most of the things I know, I taught myself. I like to say I got a degree from YouTube University. And I don't owe no student loan debt.
Yeah.
I don't owe nobody because it's free. And like, I just pour it into myself, man. So pour into yourself. I said that'd be my best advice. Then take action.
Definitely. Definitely. And where can people reach you if they want to hit you up or learn more about what you're doing?
Instagram at 1-800-HUSTLER, 1_800-HUSTLA. That they can reach me on there.
Definitely, definitely.
I ain't no Instagram celebrity or nothing. So you DM me. If you DM me, I DM you back. You know, we got Instagram celebrities and stuff. Now people ask them a question, they can't even take time out their day to, like, you know, hit them back and different things like that. And like I said, I met that guy in 2015 and he helped me. We go to lunch and we still cool to this day. I modeled a lot of stuff in my business after what he do. So I always said once I get to doing this at a higher level, I'm gonna start reaching back and like answering other people and bringing them up on the journey and different things like that there, man. Like I say, all my bros do real estate, man. So I got some guys you really need to interview. Like they doing real estate in the same market and different things like that, man. So that'd be good for them. And like, you'll get to learn some different perspectives and different things like that there.
Yeah, man, I'd be more than happy to. It sounds like a lot of cool stuff happening down in Monroe. So yeah, I'd be happy to interview any of your friends, man. And I appreciate you hitting me up. And yeah, like he said, you know, if anyone has questions, hit him up. He's responsive. And, you know, I see you've done lives with people. So you're definitely paying it forward. So I definitely appreciate that, man.
Oh yeah, man. I appreciate y'all too, man. What y'all doing, just giving us an opportunity and a platform to explain what we're doing to show people, like, we can do it too. We can build wealth. Mm-hmm. We can become owners. We can leave a legacy and different things like that, man. Like you, Todd, and some of the other people doing, I really respect it because, like, you know, listen to some of them podcasts and the other stuff, man, they don't look like us, you know, kind of like, they're not, some of that stuff become unrelatable at some point. But like for people that's kind of like giving us that platform to explain it, like that's a real powerful thing.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah, just the goal is just to keep it going and share more stories. Awesome, man. Well, thank you. Thank you again. We'll definitely be in touch. I really, again, appreciate you reaching out, and it was a pleasure. It was so many nuggets. Like, I'm looking forward to rewinding and watching it again, because you dropped some gems on us today.
All right, man. Yeah, I appreciate you, man.
Definitely, definitely. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue. You can follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue. Hit me up. Let me know what you think of our episodes, of our content, any suggestions you may have for guests. Look forward to talking to you all soon.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.